quick, who held on through the break, and then we're going to talk to Bob Holt from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette about a little wrap-up on baseball season. A couple of departures are pending for Arkansas. Disappointing. Not shocking, but certainly disappointing. Everett, go ahead, my friend.
Yes, I have a little question. It's about football and basketball. What do y'all think of LaMichael Patrick on from Nashville? And what do y'all think the football season, how do you think they'll go? And how far do you think they'll go? And the basketball question, how far do you think they'll go this year? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Hey, Everett, thanks for the call, man. Final four of what? The SEC tournament?
Let's ask I think you'd win one game and you're already there, right?
Let's bring Bob in and ask him. Bob Holt, welcome. We'll put you on the spot right out of the gate. How far is the basketball team going to go in 2015-16?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they'll make the NCAA tournament.
That would be, I think, an incredible achievement this year. I would take it right now and run with it.
But that's only if Pat Bradley comes out of retirement.
LaMichael Petway, I think, is going to be a great addition. I don't know how far the football team is going to go. And, Bob, we've talked about this, too. It's just the thing is, as good as I think they're going to be, as improved as they're going to be, they may have the best running back tandem in America. It's just such a tough schedule.
Yeah, you look at the schedule, and, I mean, people don't want to hear this, but I think 7-5 would be a decent record against that schedule. I mean, you look at these preseason magazines, and most of them have six, some seven SEC West teams in their top 25. Well, everybody can't go, 10-2.
Yep.
Somebody's got to lose those games. And, Arkansas picked a bad year to get Tennessee back on the schedule because Tennessee's been down, but kind of like Arkansas, they're on the way back up. And so that's going to be a real tough road game. And the way it sets up, I mean, it's their home game in Arlington, Texas, but that's away from home. And then they have two more road games. So they don't get a game in Fayetteville, an SEC game, until their fourth game. So, if they get off to a bit of a slow start, that's going to be rough. So I really don't like how the schedule sets up for them.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, too. And the TV game times are set. I've got some issues with that as well, but we'll talk about that later on. We were bringing you on to talk about baseball, and I guess the big news yesterday was a couple of guys who it looks like are headed out that had a chance to come back next year. And one didn't shock me because I know he's finished his academic work. The other guy was a little bit surprising to me. So talk to me about what came out of the conversations yesterday.
Yeah, Dave Van Horn, Arkansas's coach, had, I guess, held his season wrap press conference. A lot of times it's more of a look-ahead type thing, just going over roster issues and whatnot. And he said that Bobby Warnes, a junior third baseman, and Tyler Spoon, a redshirt junior right fielder, who both had eligibility remaining, but they're both going to sign. And, yeah, Tyler, like you said, Tyler is no surprise because, he's a fourth-year guy. He'd graduated this May. He had a really good year. He hit, 320-something and drove in 50-some runs, and I don't know why he wasn't up. He was a 35th-round pick by Boston. I'm not a scout. I'm not sure why he didn't get picked higher because I think he's a heck of a player, but
another
you have to
steal.
Feel like, well, if he had a year like that, he's not going to raise his draft stock much by coming back. And, like I say, he's graduated, he's on a World Series team. Really, what can you after that? So it's like Dave said, Tyler's ready to go out and give pro ball a shot and make a little money. And if not, he can come back and work in the real world with the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby was a surprise. He was picked a little higher, 30th, by the Astros, but Dave Van Horn said he thought Bobby would be back, but the Astros apparently are according to Dave, are giving him a lot better than 30th round money. And I don't know exactly what he's getting, but Dave said, hey, here's a guy that can basically pay off all his bills. And people have to remember these baseball players aren't on full scholarships, I don't know if he has some student loans or what, but said he can pay off all his bills, have a little spending money, and he gets to play pro ball. So Dave said he didn't blame him a bit, and a matter of fact, thought it was probably in his best interest to sign.
I felt like Warnes had a chance to break through, maybe not necessarily in the way that Benintendi did, but I thought that if he could get a little better at the plate, and certainly he made some improvements this year, he's such a good defensive third baseman that he maybe could have moved up several more rounds, and all the things that Coach Van Horn said about him would also be applicable. Still could pay off all his bills, but would be in line maybe to make a little more money. And, oh, by the way, he'd also have a degree to his credit. So I was a little surprised by that. And when I interviewed him the other day when they came back and they had that little rally for him at Baum Stadium, I talked to him for a little bit, and I sort of suggested that Benintendi had this great breakthrough year and nobody saw it coming and you could be that guy next year. And then he was asked right after that about, going pro, and he said, I'm going to have to talk to my family. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's just what guys say. So it really caught me off guard or by surprise that he is, in fact, going to go, because I think everything, financially is going to be in line for him next year as well. I can't imagine he's going to hurt himself a whole bunch.
Yeah, well, one thing you got to remember is these guys as juniors with eligibility, I mean, they have some leverage. You know, a team can give them an offer and they can say, no, I'm not going to take it. I'm going to go back to school. Next year, Bobby's a senior and he gets drafted and they offer him, okay, here's your offer, take it or leave it, because he's got no leverage. So that's something you have to consider in all this stuff, too.
Hadn't thought about that. From a pitching standpoint, there are some guys I know they need to get healthy and get back on track. And Tacalini and McKinney, what did he say about their progress or what their prognosis is for the coming year?
I think he's hoping to have everybody back, all hands on deck next year. You know, Tacalini's had sort of this mysterious condition. We've heard some things. And David Horn, I don't think he's trying to be evasive. I think he's trying to be careful because, you know, you have the HIPAA laws or FERPA law, whatever those laws
HIPAA
are
law.
To protect
mm-hmm.
people's privacy. Like Pat just can't go blab or shouldn't go blab about some medical condition you might have or I might have or something. Not that Pat would do that.
Pat talks about my medical conditions all the time. He says I'm a mental midget, but it can't be fixed.
Mental illness, we can talk about that.
But
Tacalini was having some kind of issue like under his armpit or something. And then he had these complications to the extent that when they were in Stillwater, they took him to the hospital in Oklahoma City. We do know that. And so, but they got it taken care of to the extent that he dressed out for the Super Regional. He was in Omaha, dressed out. He obviously wasn't going to pitch, but he got to go through all the fun activities, which, you know, you're glad to see that he's able to do that. I think he got recognized at the opening ceremonies for having the top GPA. He's a funny guy, pretty sharp guy. And Dave said he has to see some more specialists, talking about Tacalini, and that he's probably going to have some surgery, and that he hopes that by fall ball he'll be able to do kind of a little soft toss, you know, and then by the spring when they start resume practice in the spring for the season, that he'll be able to actually pitch. So they're optimistic there. Teague had what was called a stress reaction, which is not a stress fracture. And I think Dave said they basically rest is prescribed. There's no procedure done. Hmm. At least that's not planned. So basically he just needs to shut it down for a couple of months, and then they're hoping he'll be okay for the fall. And then Keaton McKinney's, you know, he'd been pitching, but he clearly wasn't himself. He was able to get him 4 1/3 the other night against Miami, which was a really gutty effort. And so Dave said he basically just needs to go home and get rested up. And so they're hoping to have all those guys back at 100% by next season.
Matty T, we may have to send you to the Hill and get these guys worked out with these stress issues.
I mean, I think I could probably provide some help.
If he is, although the stuff that Matty T uses to take away his stress, I think, has been banned by the NCAA. So what's this team look like? Trying to get a kind of a picture for what the next season will look like, Bob. What do we – I guess if you're healthy in the pitching rotation, you feel awfully good starting out the season. But as far as, you know, you lose your whole outfield, what's that look like as far as areas of need and guys that could potentially step up and fill the void?
Well, they've got some guys on campus. Dave was hesitant to talk about the newcomers. Well, basically, I asked him, hey, which newcomers think could have an impact? And he kind of thought about it and said, I really don't want to talk about it and put pressure on them. But they have some guys on campus who can shift around. You know, Clark Egan played first base this year, and he did a pretty good job. He's not really your conventional first baseman because he's not super tall, but he's a guy that played center field in high school up in Wisconsin, and he played some outfield as a freshman, although he's mostly DH. So I would not be surprised at all to see Clark Egan go to the outfield. And Carson Shaddy, who's been a backup catcher, I know that's kind of crazy. You think, well, catcher going to the outfield? But he's really not a catcher. He was a guy that was kind of helping. They sort of had this three-headed thing going with Tucker Pinnell, who's a really good defensive catcher, and Alex Gosser, who's a good defensive catcher. But those guys are okay hitters. You know, Gosser's a lefty, Pinnell's a righty. Pinnell actually hit fairly well late in the year. But Shaddy was the best hitter of all those guys. He was a 300-plus hitter coming off the bench, did a lot of pinch hitting. People may remember like the epic like 9-pitch at-bat he had in the Oklahoma State game that really got that rally going when they beat Oklahoma State. And if they don't win that game, they probably don't go to a Super Regional. Mm-hmm. They probably don't get out of Stillwater if they don't win that game. And so Shaddy's a guy that I could see shifting the outfield. You know, Luke Bonfield was a really highly touted recruit. He was probably every bit as touted as Benintendi coming in. And he broke his ankle last fall and missed like all but a couple days of first couple days of fall ball. I think he broke his ankle like the third day or something. He just Dave thought that really hurt him, even though he recovered in the spring. He missed a ton of practice time, and you know, he only hit 177. He's a lot better hitter than that, I think. And you know, I think when you're a young guy and you're really all you're doing is DH and you're not contributing there, you start pressing. And so I think he's a guy that I think could help in the outfield. He's going to play in the Cape Cod League, which speaks highly of him because, you know, they want good players up there. So he's going to play in the Cape Cod League, and Arkansas hopes he has a good summer. And Dave said he hopes he can come back and do like a a 360, although really I think it'd be more of a 180 as I think about that. Does that sound right to you, Pat? I know you're really good in math.
That sounds pretty good. But I wanted to follow up on that Cape Cod League. There was
that's your neck of the woods. Yeah.
There were a couple of guys that I forget who it was. We talked to Coach Vitelli.
Vitello,
and he had said, talking to a couple of guys in the summer league. Do you know which guys are going to be playing where? The current guys, where they're going to be playing in the summertime?
Arkansas actually sent out a release on that this morning. But you know, the Cape Cod League is really the cream of the crop, you know.
Who's playing in that this year?
Luke Bonfield is supposed to be up there.
That's what Bonfield,
I've got my whole list here. Like I said, this is an Arkansas release.
Because Bonfield, I'm going to go watch him play. He plays for the he's going to play for the Yarmouth Red Sox. Yarmouth-Dennis Red Sox. I'm going to go watch him play in July during that week. No, I swear to God, I am.
You're not going
to
get off the
beach. I'm going to get the whole crew together.
You're going to be too full of oysters. You're not going to get off the beach. You always have these high plans to go see these guys play, and then you never go.
Well, no, I'm going to do it this year.
I'm going to do lots of stuff,
too. Who else? Bobby, do we know?
Yeah, well, like I said, they've got the California
Pat, we didn't get the release, Bob. We'll just tell you that way. They didn't send it to us. We're not important.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
I think Pat probably destroyed it or something. He's not very computer oriented.
I deleted it.
But the California Collegiate League.
Well, who else in the Cape Cod League?
I think he may be the only one. And it's the Yarmouth Dennis Red Sox.
I'm
going to go to the California League. Who's in the California Penal League?
You're not going.
I'm going to go watch the guys California in the California Penal League. I want to see them.
Yeah, well, the California League has Chad Spanberg, who's a guy with a lot of power, and he DH'd some, too. He's another guy that could help him in the outfield with the Conejo Oaks. I don't know exactly, somewhere. And then you got a couple pitchers, Kyle Pate and Cannon Chad. We're going to be pitching for the San Luis Obispo Blues. I actually kind of know where that is. That's in the
San
LA
Luis
area.
Obispo?
Yeah.
The San Luis Obispo.
Oh, yeah, buddy. That's Central Coast. That's where I interned, Bob. That's a beautiful area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then they're in the Northwoods League, which is somewhere in the Northwoods, I guess. north. You got
Eureka.
Carson
probably playing up in Eureka.
Yeah, you got Carson Chaddy's playing for the St. Cloud Box. Gosser's playing for the Kalamazoo Growlers. You know, that's Michigan, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Parker Sanborn, who's a pitcher. People might remember his brother pitched for the Hogs and was a third-round pick by the A's. He's going to pitch for the Lakeshore Chinooks. And then you've got the Texas Collegiate League. Let's see, you're going to have Ryan Fant, who's Randall Fant's brother, and Darian Sims. These are a couple guys who have redshirted. They're going to play for the Victoria Generals in the Texas League. And then, like I said, you got Bonfield playing in the Cape Cod League.
We're going to send Matty T down to the Texas guys, and we'll get him covered. I'll do the California, and Pat's got Boston covered.
Yeah, I think it's 10 guys total, and, you know, that's good. I mean, you know, it's funny, people might forget, say Andrew Benintendi had a little bit of a quad issue last summer, so he just stayed here and lifted weights. He didn't play summer ball, but he'd also played a lot of summer ball in high school, and, you know, he added 15 pounds. So there's some guys that may not, you know, play summer ball, and they're going to focus on, you know, changing their bodies up. And I mean, they're all going to come back and, like Benintendi, hit 20 home runs. But guys, you know, some guys it's better for them to go play, especially if guys didn't play much during the season. These young guys, they need to see live pitching and get on the field and play. And the older guys, that are, you know, their bodies are probably worn down. They need a break, and it's probably good for them to focus on conditioning and weightlifting and kind of building their bodies back up.
Bob, I know Zach Jackson was a hammer out of the pen late in the season, although did not have the best College World Series, and certainly he had a lot of stress on his shoulders having to come through in a couple of tough spots. And I know he started the season as a starter, and it sounds like that may be where Dave Van Horn has him slated for next season if things go right.
Yeah, and talking to Zach, you know, late in the year, he said, "Hey, I'll do whatever they need me to do." Because I say, "Would you prefer to start or relieve?" But it's like Dave said, all these guys want to be starters. Although obviously, there's a lot of money to be made professionally for closers too. The whole thing with Zach is, like, it's not so much the quality of the pitches. We know he's got great fastball and a killer curve, and he's gotten a changeup. It's the quantity. he's a guy. It's like Dave said, you can't have a starter hitting 100 pitches by the fifth inning all the time, because that's going to kill your bullpen. And Zach, you know, there were times he would, you know, be very efficient. Later in the year, he was definitely getting more efficient, not walking guys. But, you know, he gets a lot of strikeouts, which obviously, as great as that is, that runs your pitch count up some. Maybe not always pitching to contact, because people have trouble hitting those pitches, to be honest. You know, they're not getting groundouts and flyouts. They're striking out. And I think he had 38 walks in 60 innings and, like, 90 strikeouts. I mean, he's just a strikeout machine. But if they could get him to be more efficient, I think they'd like him to be a starter, although obviously he's done a good job closing. You know, his velocity was down a little bit in Omaha, and I thought about it. You know, Zach pitched 60 innings, and I looked at that when Miami's closer came in the other day, Brian Garcia. I think he was at 37 innings.
Hmm.
So, you know, Zach had a couple starts this year. He had a couple relief stints and went 4-plus innings, but you know, almost all his innings are high stress. You know, he's always pitching late with the game on the line.
Well, he's a high pitch guy too, because he'll walk a guy, hit a guy, and strike three guys out.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, I think maybe his 60 innings is a whole lot for a closer type guy. So, I think that might have had a little something. It wasn't like he pitched bad in Omaha. He just wasn't quite as dominant as he had been. Plus, you got to remember these are the best teams in the country, and they got pretty good hitters too.
Yeah, no question. By the way, we haven't mentioned it yet. So sad to see LSU get bounced last night. Just kidding. So that's good. Mm-hmm. And now it'll be TCU's task to try to take out Vanderbilt next, right?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I really think Florida. Somebody asked me yesterday who I like to win, and I said, man, maybe I like Florida because they came out of the loser's bracket and Hoover and won. They just seem to have a lot of depth. So, I mean, it's hard to pick against Vanderbilt because they're so good. And really all the teams left, obviously, are really good. But I thought LSU had the pitching depth to come out of the loser's bracket. Obviously, they didn't or won't be. But, it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, it could be, SEC teams, you know, you still got two left. So
we'll
see what happens there.
Yeah, the walk-off homer for Vanderbilt, when it looked like all was lost against Fullerton, you start wondering if maybe they're a team of destiny. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to get caught up in all that. But nevertheless, let me ask you about one more guy. And I don't know if his name came up yesterday. Guy who had a solid season, but really about as bad a College World Series as you could have imagined, that being Michael Byrne of the shortstop. Did anybody ask about him? I got to wonder what his state of mind is like right now, because he's got a horrific taste in his mouth going into the offseason.
Yeah, Michael Byrne, he had a very good season. There were some people, you know, I think he hit in the three double plays up in Omaha, and he had popped up into a bun. He had the throwing error, which was a tough play probably when
He went to third as opposed to trying to get the – he was trying to get the lead runner.
He should have gone to first. He was trying to throw out the guy whose brother Jacob Hayward, guy who's I guess now he's known now, you know, Jason Hayward can be known as Jacob Hayward's
his
big
brother. Yes,
although Hayward didn't the next time out of Miami, I think he was 0-for-4, so maybe he just liked Arkansas's pitching. But
yeah, so glad he could get it out of his system.
You know, Bernal had a really good. That's a tough position, shortstop, and it's a key spot up the middle. I thought he played real well most of the year. I mean, he made some great plays. He made some highlight plays. He had some errors, obviously. He had some clutch hits, you know, people maybe. And this one, the biggest one of the year, when they beat Tennessee and Hoover, you know, he had the game winning hit that scored Nomura. He had a 14-game hitting streak that got broken or ended in the last Super Regional game. So he had a really nice year, but he wore it down, but he had a very rough time at home. I saw some people tweet out, like, he's the GOAT. And you know, I just replied, well, I don't think there is such a thing as a GOAT on a College World Series team, especially one that wasn't expected to be anywhere near Omaha. So I think he's a good player, and he's one of those guys that probably, you know, Dave talked about, you know, he'll probably, you know, get a little rest and then spend the summer here working out. I don't think he's going to play anywhere. He probably doesn't need to play anywhere. He probably needs a break. But, you know, hey, it's a long season. I mean, you look at you know, Benintendi, he was batting .415 and at .376. Well, you know, everybody's going to take .376, but he struggled a bit down the stretch. Some of that's because you're seeing the best pitching in the postseason. Some of it might be wear and tear. Some of it might be pressure, whatever. But, yeah, I think Michael Bernal's a good player. And, you know, it bothers me to see people ripping guys on Twitter or whatever because, you know, he's not getting $5 million a year or whatever. You know, he's a college kid. So
right.
You have to win a lot of games. He had a rough series.
No doubt. You know? Yeah, and I'm not going to rip the kid on social media, and I'm not going to beat him up here, but I think it's fair to point out he did not have his best trip to Omaha.
And they'll tell you that. No, he had a rough time without a doubt. I mean, there's no – I'm not sugarcoating it or saying he didn't
have
a rough series. He did. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, people that reach out and bash college kids on Twitter, you're a loser. So I think people realize that by now. Real quick, Stacy and Vidalia, we only got about 30 seconds left here.
Wait, I got a question for him.
Wanted to know about incoming recruits and maybe some lefty pitchers. Bob, any idea on that?
Well, they signed a real good left-hander from Logan Rogersville, up kind of near the Springfield area. Jacob, I might be butchering his name, Schlesinger. He's a left-hander, and I guess the problem is the Cardinals liked him, too, and they drafted him in the 12th round.
Oh, yeah.
And Dave said yesterday he thinks it's probably 50-50 at best that he comes to campus because You know, the Cardinals are offering him, I guess everybody gets offered more money than their draft, or a lot of them do. Anyway, he says the Cardinals are offering better than 12th round money. And so I haven't talked to the kid, but I saw in the Springfield, Missouri paper, he said something like it's always been a dream of his to get drafted, and, you know, the fact that it's the Cardinals makes it even sweeter. So you're thinking, well, if you're an Arkansas fan, that doesn't sound real promising. So I don't know. I think they've got players have until July 17th. The major leagues and colleges will kind of set that deadline, so college teams can have a little bit of time to figure their roster out. It used to be that all the way up till school, you could sign or go to school all the way up to like when school started, and that was really tough. You know, you're going into August, so it's tough enough mid-July. So that's a guy that could really help him if he's going to come to campus, but that remains to be seen. It'll certainly be, I would say, a pleasant surprise at this point if he makes it to Arkansas.
Bubby Holt, we talked about some of these guys that are going to be playing some professional baseball. Benintendi, Spoon, do we know where those guys are going to be? Or when is it announced what minor league club that they'll be playing on?
Well, technically, none of those guys have signed that I'm aware of. But although they may have already agreed to deals, or maybe they've signed and just haven't announced it. But I would think most of those guys, some of those guys are going to go to rookie league, you know, short rookie league. Mm-hmm. A guy like Benintendi, they might, I mean, as good as he is, the size he was drafted, you know, you don't throw a guy in double A or something. So my guess is most of them would start class A. I would think, you know, top level college is probably about like class A, something like that. So I think they're either going to end up in rookie. Yeah, I wouldn't see him in Pawtucket yet, Pat. Hmm. He might get to Pawtucket next year.
my parents moved, so we live about 10 minutes now from the Lowell Spinners, which is where Forrest Allday played last year.
What
the
level?
Lowell Spinners.
Ball?
I think it's class A.
Yeah, I think he's
okay.
There.
Well, yeah,
he's not now. He's up in some other league.
Depending on what they do, Benintendi and Spoon might be in the same outfield.
Well, if you end up hearing something above Benintendi and Spoon, could you be kind enough just to shoot me the information?
Oh, sure, no problem.
If you know where they go,
Bob,
sure.
You're the best. We appreciate the time very much and the insight, good stuff, and certainly trending the right way for Arkansas baseball. It should be fun next season as well. Hopefully, we get back to Omaha and stay a little longer.
Okay, Whitaker just slept through the whole thing, my cat, so.
Okay, yeah. Well, you tell Whitaker we said hello when she wakes up.
Okay, will do. You guys take care.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, bye.
Thanks to Bob, and summer is here. Wendy's Strawberry Fields Chicken Salad, hand-sliced strawberries, crisp romaine chopped, right in their kitchens, and of course,